How are you all doing? Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Who's had a really good Mother's Day so far? Oh, Damien has, and Andrew. Okay, and Lorraine. That's lovely. Mothers are special. They really are. Even if you don't feel special as a mother, you are very special. So on our way here from Fremantle, my youngest was saying in the car, can I get ice cream and can I get McDonald's? She's almost three. And I had to think, because the other kids were like, Mom, are you going to get it for her? I said, yes, I am. And they said, why? I said, because that's how I got her on the stage in Fremantle. So you know how they had to come on the stage? She was refusing to come up, and she was part of the program. So I said to her, if you go up, you get McDonald's. And she kind of moved a little bit, and I said, and you get ice cream. Then she got up, and she was on the stage. I don't think Raquel knows that's how it happened. So now I have to be a woman of my word. It's not the best thing, but you know, I promised I have to give it to her. So I just want to start off with a quick prayer before we get into the word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for mothers. I thank you for the opportunity to speak your word. And I pray, Lord, as we hear your word this morning, that people will be equipped to keep on keeping on. That people will be equipped to know their fight. And that there will be renewed confidence in what we're supposed to do here. Renewed confidence in what we carry and how to carry it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're taking notes, the title of my message is The War of Love. The War of Love. And I'm going to keep it very, very short because it's Mother's Day, but also because I just want to spend the time praying for all the mothers, all the women in the house. Growing up, I was never one to fight. I've never been in a fight. I never knew how to, and I never liked it. And I knew some people in primary school, they couldn't wait to get into a fight. In fact, oh yeah, we've got one there. The way that they would do it, if there was two kids who were going to fight, they had a strategy that they used. And they'd say, okay, let's go out there. And there'll be crowds of other kids, some behind each person. And they would gather soil. And they would create a little pile in front of each person. And each pile represented the breast of the other person's mother. I don't know how they came up with that. But anyway, that's what they would do. They'd say, that's your mother's, and this is my mother's. And the idea was that the first person who would kick the breast of one the others, they had started the fight, and the fight was on, right? So it was always very interesting to me, that strategy. We're talking about the war of love. I'm going to read a poem. I've read it before, but it's a bit different. It's called We Are at War. We are at war. I'm telling you that we are at war. We are at war for our children. At war not just with knives and guns, but with those enemies with no sympathy for their young minds. Yes, it's true. We are not all fighting with knives and guns, but have you seen our children lately? We are at war with confusion, restlessness, worry, and madness. Madness of the mind because they can't work out who they are or where they belong without the reflection on the mirror telling them lies. Madness because they have to fight harder just to stay alive. Our children are fighting forces no man could have envisioned, facing not spears and arrows from afar, but being assaulted in their minds, in their own homes. Indeed, we are at war. While they sit in their own rooms, their virtual spaces with unknown faces, they face an assault on their minds. If indeed the eyes are the windows to our soul, then truly we are under attack. Indeed, they are the confused generation where self-love and self-mutilation are exalted in the same mind. We are at war as they witness scarring violence in our homes where there's no more respect for human life. Please tell me you know that we are at war. And where shall they find the hope unless we stand? Unless we stand and fight a different type of war.
A war of love that says no more, that says not on my watch, that says I love you, I accept you, I pray for you. A war of love that says I'll care for you, pause for you, stop for you, I'll pray for you. What does the Lord have to say about this war we find ourselves in the middle of, in this generation that we find ourselves in? I want to share scripture from 1 Kings chapter 3. We'll just put it up. 16:27. Some time later, two prostitutes came to the king to have an argument settled. "Please, my lord," one of them began, "this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a baby while she was with me in the house. I gave birth to a baby while she was with me in the house. Sorry. 3 days later, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There were only two of us in the house, but her baby died during the night when she rolled over on it. Then she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while I was asleep. She laid her dead child in my arms and took mine to sleep beside her. And in the morning when I tried to nurse my son, he was dead. But when I looked more closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't my son at all. Then the other woman interrupted. It certainly was your son, and the living child is mine. No, the first woman said, the living child is mine, and the dead one is yours. And so they argued back and forth before the king. Then the king said, let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours, and each says that the dead one belongs to the other. All right, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought to the king. Then he said, cut the living child in two and give half to one woman and half to the other. Then the woman who was the real mother of the living child and who loved him very much cried out, oh no, my lord, give her the child. Please do not kill him. But the other woman said, all right, he will be neither yours nor mine. Divide him between us. Then the king said, do not kill the child, but give him to the woman who wants him to live, for she is his mother. Who knows, that was a wise king. King Solomon had been asked by God after he had gone and sacrificed. He had been asked, what do you want? And he did not ask for riches or for fame. He asked for wisdom. He asked for wisdom because he knew he had a great task in front of him. We find a story here of two mothers who are struggling. They're struggling because they, at some point, they were celebrating having these babies. The next minute, they're fighting over who has a living baby and who has the dead baby. They're going through fear and grief. They have all this pain that they're struggling with. They're in mourning. Three areas that I want to highlight from this passage: the battle, the sacrifice, and the legacy. Who knows that the battle, our battle, your battle, my battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. One thing that these women agreed on was where to go to when things were difficult. They both knew that they had to go to the king for justice to be served. They couldn't sort it out between themselves, and so they knew to go to the king. It pays to know that the battle belongs to the Lord. Sometimes we can spend endless hours, endless days trying to solve a problem that only God can handle, only God can solve for us. The battle belongs to the Lord. In 1 Kings 3, verse 8 to 9, it says, this is Solomon, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? That's what Solomon said before God granted him that wisdom And straight after that, this story about the true prostitutes comes in. So we have an understanding that what Solomon did in saying bring the sword was not something that he just thought up. It was actually the wisdom of God that he had just been granted operating. We must all learn to go to the king to settle matters of injustice in our everyday lives, to take our confusions, our conflicts, our misunderstandings to the king. Because that is where all wisdom, all understanding, and all discernment lies. It's very easy when we're going through a difficult time to pick up the phone and call someone. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But it's important to understand that ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ is where our answers lie. The next thing I want to talk about is the sacrifice. In Botswana, where I'm from, there's a saying. You won't understand it, but I'll say it anyway, and I'll explain what it means. It says, Mangwana o tshwara thipa ka ha bogaleng. Mangwana o tshwara thipa ka ha bogaleng. It means, from English translation, a mother holds a knife by the blade, which is the sharpest part of the knife. Meaning that a mother will do anything in her power to protect her child. Any mothers agree with that? I found a quote that said, if a mother has to choose between loving her child and her last breath, she would use her last breath to tell her children that she loves them. I thought that was beautiful. This woman, who was the real mother, was willing to sacrifice. She was willing to surrender. She was willing to stand in the gap. The sword is held up. She would have had to stand in the gap to stop her child being sacrificed. She was willing to make a sacrifice herself. She was giving up the bedtime stories. She was giving up attending school assemblies. She was giving up Mother's Day parades. She was giving up graduation day. She was giving up sharing joy, sharing sorrows, and sharing triumphs of this child's life. She was willing to do that because she had selfless love. To every mother in the room, I want to say this to you. Your sacrifices were never in vain. Every mother in this house who has ever made a sacrifice, and I believe it comes with motherhood, your sacrifices were not in vain. Sometimes we do things and we don't see the end result. But in the kingdom of God, things work a little bit differently. The results may not show themselves right there and there, but sometimes the result is the fact that you planted a seed. It's the fact that you sacrificed, because the results won't show themselves in the moment, but in generations to come. So be assured that your sacrifices, particularly your prayers, mothers pray. Mothers pray. Your prayers are not in vain. The other thing I wanted to say is this. Abraham was willing to give up Isaac. And this story paints a similar picture. This woman was willing to sacrifice her child for the greater good. With Abraham, it was a statement of faith. With this woman, we don't hear anything about that, but I still believe she was taking a big step of faith. She was willing to give up everything, her son. Whatever you are willing to let go of, whatever you are willing to surrender to God, he will work it out for you. He will work it out in the end, even if you don't see the results in front of you. So do not be discouraged. Lastly, I want to talk about the legacy. It says, then the woman who was the real mother of the living child and who loved him very much cried out, oh no, my Lord, give her the child. Please do not kill him. But the other woman said, all right, he will neither be yours nor mine. Divide him between us. The one who truly loved the child wanted life for the child, regardless of what that life was going to look like. Regardless of the fact that she was handing over her child to another woman, to another mother, the real mother was willing to surrender what she treasured so that the story would go on, the legacy would be preserved. It matters how we choose to end the storyline. For one woman, it was perfectly fine to destroy everything. Even after the woman said, take the child, I would have stopped right there and taken the child and not said anything. But this woman was set on destroying everything. She had no love, she had no care. It reminded me of the fact that we have an enemy who's willing to destroy any and everything. And all he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But the real mother wanted life. In the book, The Art of War, by Sun Tzu, he was a military strategist. He says, every battle is won before it's ever fought. Every battle is won before it's ever fought. I'll get every woman to stand up and please come to the front because we want to pray, or I want to pray for you. Please stand up and we're going to pray. If you just come to the front, if you're a woman, you don't have to be a mother. And I just want to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 18. And it says, put on the full armor of God. This is for you, every woman. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, there is a struggle, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is a world that we cannot see, but it is more powerful than the world that we do see. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and it will come for you and I, it will come for our children, it will come for the people that we love, you may be able to stand your ground. There's something about standing. There's something about being immovable. And after you have done everything, stand. Stand firm, then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. This scripture is telling us we have authority to extinguish some things. It says, take the helmet of salvation. We all have a helmet of salvation if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is a weapon. And it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. All the Lord's people. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for these women. I thank you, Father, that they are precious in your eyes. We just heard about Ezekiel and that he was told to speak to dry bones. He was told to open up his mouth and call those things that are not as though they are. And so whatever dead things are in your life right now, I'd like you to bring them to mind. We have been given a powerful imagination. If I ask you to go to Paris right now, you can go to Paris. If I ask you to go to Darwin right now, you can go to Darwin. If I ask you to go to Sydney, you can go to Sydney. Our minds are powerful. I want you to imagine every dead thing that has come into your life, every blockage that has come into your life, every area that has been closed, every door that has been closed, every place of grief, I want you to bring it up in your imagination. And I want you to know that you have the authority to speak life into that situation. So I just want to pray for all of you, and I'll make it quick because we don't want to stand forever. I just want to pray for you. I forgot your name, ma'am. Elizabeth. Elizabeth. Father, we thank you for Elizabeth. I thank you for her life, oh God. I thank you, Father, that she is beautiful. She is beautiful. She's got a big heart. I hear the Lord said you've always had a big heart. And even though you have been misunderstood at times, you've always had pure motives. Your heart has always been for love, but it's never always been understood. But I say it again, every sacrifice that you've ever made, every decision that you've ever made for your loved ones, it was not in